Welcome, one and all, once again to Nerds on the Rocks, episode 183. I am joined this week by Dan.
Hello.
James.
I can hear it coming in the air tonight.
That's a teaser for something later on.
And Justin.
Life, finds a way.
That's a teaser for our conversation after this podcast.
Or before this podcast. Yeah. We spent an hour and a half warming up for this show, apparently.
Hello and welcome. Sadly. This is our Jeff Goldblum appreciation podcast. Not his actuality, just his
sadly, none of us have good cheekbones.
Time out. I'm going to stop this because we're not going to derail this podcast before we actually even begin it.
Fine. God.
What do we derail? This is a motor car podcast.
God, you don't like to have fun.
No, I like to stay on topic at least to introduce what we're going to actually talk about. And
what about Jeff Goldblum?
No, well, maybe we are going to talk about Jeff Goldblum. We'll find out in a second.
I'm adding him to my list right now.
I don't know if he'll fit on your list. You'd have to add something he's in. But
Jurassic Park.
That's not overlooked. Unless you want to...
Fine.
Wait,
quick question. Are we allowed to include things that were... Are we specifically going at things that aren't well known, or are we also allowed to include things that weren't well liked?
Let's introduce it, and then we'll figure out the rules.
Okay.
So, what we are going to talk about is everybody came prepared with their own separate list of several items of stuff that they feel that the rest of us either should have engaged in some, you know, watched, played, read, or whatever. So we're going to share that list and just talk about why we picked them or why we recommend it. We don't know how it is, so some of these may be crossovers and some of these may be super popular and obvious answers that we all know and probably don't talk about enough. We had this discussion before the show started. It doesn't have to be super niche, but it's probably not going to be something extremely popular. Like, I don't think we're going to recommend Call of Duty or Game of Thrones or for you to see, like, a Marvel film, because I think most people know what those are. Most people have seen them have engaged with it in some capacity. These are not necessarily super, you know, it could be overlooked. It could be something that you're probably a huge fan of and you don't think it's talked about enough, or people, you know, should kind of mention, you know, talk about it more, or, you know, we should watch it or maybe read it, or maybe we'll come back to it at another day if we haven't really done that. To kind of kick us off, I'm just going in order of what my screen shows, and it's also the order I introduced you folks, so we're going to start off with Dan.
Do you want me to do my whole list, or just one at a time?
We're going around the table, so everybody does one at a time.
Okay, cool. I'm going to start off my
just
list.
Just so we all know about John Williams.
I'm going to start off my list with something that's not even related to games or anything. It's related to food, and I... cool food combination that I really like that is underappreciated.
Whoa.
If you say poutine, I'm going to cut you.
I'm not saying poutine, but I am going to say this is, you got to get ready for this one. I'm going to say my first on my list is pizza with mustard on it.
No, get the hell out.
It's a very underappreciated and refined choice, and you should all try it out.
Okay, so I'm a little curious. Like, so is there a specific kind of mustard, and like, where does it go, and how much, and does anything else go on the pizza?
Okay, so this is how I usually do it. I usually eat pizza, and then I put a little squirt of mustard on the side, either yellow mustard or honey mustard. I prefer both, really, honestly. They're both fine. You put a little squirt on the side, just like you would ketchup, and then you just kind of dip, like, the pizza in it, basically.
But then
is this just like a dipping sauce?
Yeah, okay, that's not mustard on the pizza.
Well, it's eating it with the pizza, so it's basically the same thing. You can put it on if it's easier for you to do it that way, if you want.
Well, I don't want to do that at all. I don't like mustard in general.
Wow, this is not sound appealing, but this I kind of want to try it.
Exactly. So the way it started was my mom likes to eat the pizza crust with her mustard because she feels the crust is basically like a pretzel, and pretzels are usually accompanied by mustard. So I was like, huh, let me try the whole pizza with mustard, and it's actually great.
Okay, so, wait, do you do that with ketchup? Like, do you personally do that with ketchup, too, or?
What do you mean, like ketchup and pizza?
Yeah.
No, that's gross.
No. Really? Mr.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Do you do it with ketchup?
Yeah.
That's gross.
Oh, my gosh.
You're gross. Fuck you.
The only thing I dip my pizza into is, like, the garlic sauce.
I don't often, because I usually don't have any.
Wait, are you guys, like, basically what I'll sprinkle on it, I'll, like, probably usually put on Parmesan cheese and, like, crushed red pepper, but...
Wait, hold on, I have a serious question. Can we all agree that, you know, ranch dressing with pizza is fucking wrong?
I was going to say that. My sister does that, and I don't like it. It's a thing that doesn't appeal to...
Yeah, I don't get that either. I've actually never heard of that before, and it sounds...
It's a thing that people like my high school did, and like adults do. So Dan,
oh my God, high school's the coolest thing ever, isn't it?
So Dan, tell your sister that, like, she's fucking wrong.
Wow.
The only thing
don't say like that.
I'll do what I want, Justin. I'll tell her that way.
Tell her she's also a nice person.
The only thing I dip my pizza in is the grease for my pizza.
That's gross.
if it's not crying, it's not good pizza.
That's fucking... Wow.
It's the best type of pizza.
Jesus.
So, moving on before you folks disgust me anymore.
No, apparently people kill each other over mustard on pizza.
If there is one thing I love to highlight, it's when a movie is amazing and not only did nobody see it, but half the people came out not liking it at all. And that movie is Miami Buddy.
Prometheus.
I bet you're going to say
Prometheus is probably rated about as well as it should, and Snowpiercer has done pretty well considering the amount of release it got. I am actually talking about Michael Mann's Miami Vice.
That's okay.
So basically, it's an adaptation of the crime TV show that Michael Mann helped create back in the 80s. Those who don't know Miami Vice, Michael Mann, he also directed Heat, The Last of the Mohicans, Collateral, a couple other, usually crime movies of some kind or another. And a lot of the reason I don't think Miami Vice was liked by audiences is that it was sold and, like, marketed as, like, basically as a summer action movie. Like, it had a big July 2006 release date. Whereas, in fact, it's actually a super, super plotty, dense crime thriller. I guess the biggest comparison point for this kind of movie is something like All the President's Men or Zero Dark Thirty, where it's less about, like, major character arc changes driving the plot, as more it is, like, this like, maximum accuracy investigation kind of thing, where it doubles down on not necessarily, like, precise actual realism, but simply the feeling of it, where it gives off that air of, okay, this is actually how this professionalism works. And, I mean, any movie that starts them off with as basically as cold and open as this one does, like, it automatically has some amount of courage to them. And yeah, I just think it works like gangbusters, and it hasn't been, it hasn't really had much of a, like, coming back to it as a couple other late 2000s bombs, like one of the other ones I might mention later. But yeah, this is both the theatrical and a director's cut. I would recommend the theatrical one. Like, I think a couple of the changes in the director's cut, specifically adding, like, a cold open before the actual plot begins, sort of hurt the film rather than help it. Sadly, the theatrical cut is not available on Blu-ray in the U.S., but I believe the DVD is still available, and if I'm remembering correctly, the U.K. Blu-ray is region-free of the theatrical cut. So, Miami Vice, be warned, you have to be in the right mood to like that kind of thing, but if you are, it is just the best of its kind of thing.
Who's in it?
Colin Farrell and Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, Colin Farrell and Jamie Foxx are the two main leads, and then Naomi Harris is there as well.
Huh, interesting cast. Interesting cast. Okay, I got no beef with that. I mean, I'll watch anything Yoshi, apparently.
I liked it. It was good.
You actually seen a movie?
Well, you've seen a movie that, like, nobody's seen. I mean, props to you, Justin.
Okay.
Which brings us to you, Justin. And I'm most curious about your list.
Yeah, we're all curious about all of Justin's list.
Are we really?
I am, and Earl is, so that's all of us.
I mean, James is a person, too.
Yeah, but it's not all of us.
I am
one
quarter
of
us.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess he is the ass of us.
Oh, damn.
Anyhow.
I got Justin.
Shut the hell up.
Justin.
God damn it. What was I about to say?
Okay, that was your list. Then moving on.
No, my show, I guess it was a show called Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah, anyway, nobody likes Justin. Moving on.
Well, I mean, I feel like it hasn't entirely gotten the attention it deserves because a lot of people, you know, dismissed it from the trailers. Like, oh, you know, it's like the answers in Washington's Bible. And on first glance, I did too because it looks really fucking stupid.
Wait,
but
what does that mean?
they're looking for something, and basically, like, the answer is in George Washington's Bible.
Okay, that sounds dumb already.
Yeah, so basically, like, the hook of the show is that there's this dude, Ichabod Crane, who, you know, fought in, during the Revolutionary War.
That did not happen in the Disney movie.
He got killed.
It generally is Ichabod Crane.
Someone killed him, and he killed that person. Basically, both people, like, lived to the year, I guess, 2013 now, 2014 now, for the show, and, he meets up with this cop in the town, Sleepy Hollow, named Abigail, I forget her last name, but anyway, they basically, like, solve supernatural shit, and there's this whole thing about prophecy and the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. It's actually really good.
I've heard good things about it, and I believe it's being...
The second season starts,
tomorrow.
In September.
Oh.
Yeah, I believe it's being paired with Gotham in the fall, correct?
Which makes a lot of sense, sort of.
Because Batman's in both of them.
But yeah, it's they're both very... I guess what they're calling them now... And I really hate the term, but genre TV. Genre shows.
That's weird.
Which is a really weird term, because most shows are in a genre. Mm-hmm. But it's usually...
I would hope it is.
Yeah, but they what they mean by that is they mean like stuff like supernatural shows, like Supernatural and Teen Wolf and Vampire Diaries.
Teen Wolf is also on my list. I'm kidding. It's not.
Basically, that mishmash of, like, sci-fi, horror, fantasy, and other kind of things that don't really have, like, at least for a while, didn't have really much, like, mainstream acceptance as, legitimate art.
It's still weird that people call them genre shows, because it has a genre. Why don't you just call them that, like a supernatural show?
Yeah, it's just sort of a way of lumping them all together.
Yeah, which is really easy. But then again, when you think about it, TV does a really good job of that, because you're a comedy, you're a drama... You're a serial, you're a procedural, and that's pretty much the classifications. So yeah. That brings us to me, and let's see, Justin's on a TV show. James
did
a movie.
Dan did food.
I am going to do... Okay, I'll do a comic book then. This kind of sucks because it just came out this week that it's ending. But Superior Foes of Spider-Man?
That's a good one. I've heard really good things about Superior.
Yeah, that's actually a good list one, because that is really good. I only just started it, but...
Okay, yeah, I'm, like, aware of it, but I don't really know anything about it beyond it's, like, a companion to Superior Spider-Man.
It's not a companion.
They just kind of share the same title.
Yeah, but it's basically about a newly formed Sinister Six, which has five members... But it's also, like, D-tier of Spider-Man villains who formed a new Sinister Six.
Yeah, is it, like, Shocker, Captain Boomerang, Beetle?
Yeah. And
yeah, it's an awesome cast, really.
It's, yeah, it's
and two
really
other
awesome.
People whose names I don't remember right now, because obviously they're
which
deep.
Is why they're D-tier, yeah. And this is kind of, and it's, like, it's not even, like, it's, because it's from the criminal point of view, and criminals can't really succeed. So they're really awful at their job. Like, they pretty much just bumble through gigs. And it's, like, sometimes, it's right now it's been one big, like, arc, which has been, like, everything's kind of rolling into each other. And I guess it's gonna wrap up that way anyhow. It's going to 16 issues, which is another reason I'd recommend it. It kind of sucks that it's ending so soon. But it's also one of those things that you don't often get in comic books where a series gets to end. And I always find that much easier to recommend than somebody than saying, like, oh, you should read Spider-Man, which is up to issue 700 and something.
Yeah, it's very fair. And very convoluted when they have so many different arcs and stuff.
Did you know that Superior was only supposed to be, like, about 5 or 6 issues?
Superior Spider-Man?
No, Superior Foes.
No. Yeah,
it was only supposed to be, because, like, basically, when it was announced that it was ending, the writers started talking on Twitter, like, this isn't a bad thing, I'm very proud of the work we did, because I think it was only supposed to be, like, 5 or 6 issues.
Yeah.
And they actually got pretty far, which is pretty cool.
And one of the things I've learned, and I didn't recommend this because this one is more known, was Hawkeye. But just recently...
Yeah.
Hawkeye is amazing.
Yeah.
I've learned that I enjoy big superhero comics as well, but I'm also enjoying the stuff that's kind of, you know, it takes a step behind the action where it's like, this is what these people do on a day-to-day basis. That's kind of what Hawkeye is. He isn't really an Avenger.
This is what he do when he's not an Avenger.
Yeah. And it's kind of, you know, it's the same thing with Superior Foes, because again, a lot of it isn't about them committing crimes or even engaging with Spider-Man. It's about them trying to, you know, plan their schemes, them just kind of interacting with each other. It's also one of the reasons I'm looking forward to something like Gotham Academy. Just kind of seeing people live in this world outside of, like, beating each other up or another crisis. It's nice to kind of be really, really grounded and focus on the individuals that, you know, live in this. And this is why Superior Foes is Spider-Man. It's fun. The other thing is, because it's a group of villains, they're also awful people to each other.
Yeah, it's a really interesting dynamic.
Yeah, so you get twists and turns and betrayals, and, you know, it has a great sense of humor. It's really goofy. Like, I think one of the subplots right now, somebody has the head of Silvermane, which was a big crime boss, and, like, his head was severed but survived in this, like, robotic head. And if you control the head, you control his crime family. It's really stupid, but it's fun. It's done in a nice and humorous way.
You control his head, you control the crime family.
Yeah, that's how it goes. Don't you know how
control the engine,
work?
Control the world, some other thing, we control something to control something else.
But, yeah, it's like I said, it's really fun, it's worth it. Maybe wait until November or so, like I said, it's going to run until for 16 issues, and pick it all up at once and read it in trades, instead of, you know, waiting month to month. But yeah, really worth checking out, and based on sales, not a lot of people have.
Bummer.
So,
I have.
I think I just figured out what one of Justin's will be.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, please do tell.
Okay, well, I'll wait until you get to it.
Okay.
Yeah. We're going back around the circle. Actually, we're going to move it down, so we're going to start off with James this time.
All right. Am I allowed to talk about another movie?
You're allowed to talk about whatever you want.
Okay, well, this is probably a really predictable one, if you've read any of my feed recently, like over the past few months, but I've
Wait, I want to guess. Is it Boyhood?
Okay. No. Damn. No, Boyhood, I don't think Boyhood counts as overlooked, because it's, like, critically successful and a pretty good commercial hit, considering its release. Right. No, over the summer, I recently got really into Jackie Chan movies, because I think... Basically because I think most people in the U.S. are aware of him in some way or another, and I think a lot of people of my generation probably know about him most through the cartoon, or through, like, some of his American movies, but not a lot of people have seen, like, his Hong Kong stuff.
Rush Hour.
Wait, was one of the movies that you saw Rumble in the Bronx?
Yes, I actually just watched that the other day.
Wasn't that ending the best?
Yes!
Sorry.
But yeah, basically, for those who haven't seen any of his Hong Kong stuff, like pre-Rush Hour kind of thing, basically how each of them works is like super minimalist plot that's basically there just to hang insane action scenes. There's basically two kinds of Jackie Chan scenes. There's, of course, the fight scenes, which are these wonderfully choreographed martial arts sequences, usually very comedy-heavy. Like, they're not as brutal as something like The Raid. They're they have a very lighthearted, playful feel to it. And then he has, like, his stunt sequences where it's usually some kind of escape or another. So it's part of what makes him a really great character, like Jackie Chan, the stuntman actor guy, is because there's always a sense of actual danger to him. Usually because when you see him throwing himself down that 30-story building, he's actually throwing himself down that 30-story building.
Yeah.
So a lot of people have basically compared him to, like, silent comedy actors like Buster Keaton or Charlie Chaplin. So, I guess if I were to recommend one above any other that is pretty easy to find and probably my favorite, it would be The Legend of Drunken Master, which is on Netflix. It's basically a movie where he's a guy whose martial arts style involves getting drunk, but not too drunk. Though him drunk basically is really fucking drunk. Like, in the finale, he starts drinking industrial grain alcohol, breathing fire, beating the shit out of this guy, actually getting thrown on a hot coals. It is one of the best action movies ever made. So I would highly recommend checking that out on Netflix. And then they have a bunch of other ones, most of which are really, of the ones they have there, are really worthwhile. But that's definitely the starting point I'd recommend.
Okay. So I guess to go back to James, since you wanted to predict Justin's one, you can predict it before he announces it.
I think he's going to talk about Young Justice.
Actually, I didn't think about that one.
I don't think I know. I mean,
you can make an argument for it either way.
I was going to say, based off of Tumblr, I don't think that's underrated either.
Yeah,
that's true. I was mostly just going that it was canceled pretty early, but I guess it wasn't canceled due to rating so much as it was marketing bullshit.
Yeah, we won't get into that. We won't get into that.
I would say, I'm not entirely, like, 100% sure if this one is, like, if this one is, like, overlooked, but, Child of Light?
I'd say that's pretty in the spotlight.
I mean, well, it kind of was for a while, but then it just sort of, like, disappeared, and even when it was, like, in the spotlight, it wasn't for long. It was, like, a day tops.
Well, I don't think that's true. I think it had most of early May.
Okay, fine, then I'll move on to another one.
No! Continue Child of Light! You chose it, you must do it!
Now I'll move on. Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning.
I am aware of that game.
I
think everybody's aware of the game, probably not for the reason of the game.
Right, I think like if you can get past like, you know, the whole studio bullshit that happened, it's a pretty fun action RPG. Which sadly did not get its due.
Yeah, I heard it was actually pretty solid for what it was and stuff. Mm-hmm. And what it was.
Yeah, and I think Origin had like a free preview event a week or two back where they were like, hey, you can check it out for free.
They did. But it's actually a pretty fun game. And unfortunately, I might have to rethink my list on some, or rethink which ones to pick.
Okay. I mean, I wasn't judging you. I was just. Well, okay, Dan was.
Well, I know, but I feel like the. Compared to some other, and like most Ubisoft projects, that one, just like a Blood Dragon, kind of got, you know, pushed under the radar.
Well, I think Blood Dragon
is a weird exception to the rule.
I think that's video games in general, though. Cause, I mean, you could say the same thing about Titanfall. You could say the same thing about Watch Dogs. Nobody's talking about those games anymore.
Yeah, I think part of Child of Light's thing is that you have those people who are so, like, categorically opposed to like, being pro-downloadable game, pro-indie game, pro-artsy game. Like, I know this isn't everyone, but there are a couple people who are like, no, games must be games. They are only allowed to operate and function as entertainment through pure fun. If you try and do anything artistically interesting, you are ruining games. Like, there are people who are like that. And it's
well,
just
we had a discussion before the show started.
Depression Quest.
Yeah, we won't get into that at all.
Wow, topical, Justin, but also uncalled for.
I mean, yeah, I haven't played it, but I know the thing.
In short, you should actually be able to do more with games than just fun, because otherwise you're just shooting yourself in the foot.
Back to me.
Wow.
Where's me? Where do I come in?
You're
no one cares
after
about
me.
You, Dan. Egocentric?
Full circle. If you started off the first time, that means you end the second time.
And then he's in the middle of the third time.
Yeah.
Well.
Just the way he likes it.
Why,
so.
I never...
Anyhow,
we know about that party in Spring Break. Go on.
This is a odd one because it's on CBS, which means it does well.
Oh my god! Is it Mike and Molly?
Yes, it's Mike and Molly.
Wait, is it Two Broke Girls?
No, it's not Two Broke Girls.
Is it NCIS?
No, it's not NCIS.
It's actually Two and a Half Men.
It's not Two and a Half Men. Are we just going
to... It's NCIS. I don't know many basic network shows anymore.
Is it a Selfie?
Selfie?
I don't think Selfie started yet.
It hasn't started, and that's on ABC, and I do not recommend you watching that.
That's like saying Mad Max Fury Road is underrated because nobody's seen it, except the people actually have.
No, I thought Selfie had come out already. All right,
the pilot is out. The pilot you can watch online. Yeah, just as a cheap trick, you can watch Selfie and From A to Z Pirates online legally through ABC and NBC.
You
should both of them on the site.
Support watching both of these, actually, from that statement.
You had
I did not
me
support
up,
watching
you,
Selfie at all.
You had me up until you said the word illegally.
Yeah, I mean, there are other ones that you can watch in other means, but these are available legally through the official channel, so...
I like that edginess for the sake of its edginess, Justin.
But the show I was going to say, since none of you apparently guessed it, was Elementary. And I think part of the reason is it gets overshadowed a lot by Sherlock.
Well, the reason why is Elementary, my dear Watson.
Because exactly. Sherlock has British men with cheekbones in it.
Because that's Benedict Blogabloof.
It has British lizard men with cheekbones.
But I've said it before, and I honestly think it's a better show. And I think,
oh my god, Tumblr's about to cast you out.
Well, I think part of it I mean, I don't think a lot of people give it a chance because they feel it's an American version of Sherlock, which isn't true at all. Well, I mean, it is. It's Sherlock in...
It actually is.
Yeah, it's Sherlock in America.
But, I mean, it's not like an American version of the TV show Sherlock. It's not like, oh, we're just going to take this basic premise. I mean, basically, it's a character that's popular anyhow. There's three versions of him going on concurrently. Yeah. Even though I'm sure the Robert Downey Jr. version's done.
Yeah.
But I believe that Ian McKellen's suing him now?
Weird. Yeah, which is weird in its own way. But anyway.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a character that gets around a lot. But I think I think that a lot of characters on this show get to evolve beyond Sherlock. I think that's one of the problems with the British Sherlock is that the only character who really changes is, and he doesn't really change, he just kind of becomes just arrogant around certain people. But John kind of remains the same. Moriarty was an interesting character.
You talking about Moriarty in Sherlock or Moriarty in Elementary?
I'm talking about Sherlock. I'm talking about like how a lot of characters don't get to evolve on that show because...
And there's only three episodes.
Yeah, part of it is because of the format. Three episodes, there's only so much you can do. It does a good job with the three episodes, but the characters don't really get to change that much, or if they do, it gets rushed. Like, John's wedding was two episodes.
But...
And in theory, that was like a year in their showtime because it's so decompressed. But this show, you get, you know... Joan gets to evolve beyond being Sherlock's, you know, like, talking buddy. She has her own life. She has her own romantic interests. The police force gets to evolve. There was a great arc in season two with one of the officers, Lieutenant Bell, on the police force. I already mentioned that Watson's a female. They do a lot of interesting gender-bending stuff. Spoilers, I don't know if you folks are going to watch this show.
I know who you're going to say.
Yeah, they combine Moriarty with,
Adler.
Yeah, Adler. They combine her. So it's Sherlock's greatest foe is also his greatest self-interest, which is a really interesting dynamic.
Who's played by the beautiful cat feline person, Natalie Dormer.
Yeah.
If that sweetens the pot for you.
You know, they do a lot of stuff with his, you know, like, they do stuff with his brother, and they have a lot of legacy characters. But, you know, again, it's just like, it's great to see that everybody around him gets to evolve, and he gets to evolve and change as well. And I also find it interesting, and I could be wrong, I find that there's a lot of sexual tension between them than there is between Cumberbatch
and his fan base.
Yeah.
You see, because Cumberbatch doesn't return the love, and they're all disappointed.
Well, I mean, they do call themselves Cumberbitches for a reason.
Yeah, for real.
I don't know what they see in that lizard man.
I honestly don't. I feel like it's one of those. I think it was the right act at the right time. I think a lot of people following up with British actors. It was the David Tennant and Matt Smith era, and he was.
Well, yeah, but I mean, David Tennant is like decent looking, but the other two are kind of ugly.
Yeah, I honestly don't get the appeal of Matt Smith either. But we're not here to judge.
He's quirky, lol.
I mean, James, you're into dudes. Too. Can you honestly, yeah. Can you say that, like, you know, Matt Smith is, you know, like, worthy of hitting?
Matt Smith's an oddball, but I mean that in the best way possible, but not in, like, an attraction way.
Alright, yeah, so disregard what James says, he's clearly stupid.
Well, no, I don't, I understand where James is coming from. From a personality standpoint, Matt Smith is, he seems very adorable. He seems like somebody you'd hang out with. From a attractive male point of view, I don't get it, but
yeah, David Tennant makes sense. I mean, even like, I don't know if it's happened yet, but like Peter Capaldi is going to make sense once that kicks in. Once the Tumblr fan base seem like, you know, I am into older men now.
What do you mean? When they realize? They realize that like
as soon as he was
I haven't paid attention if it's clicked or not.
Well, I mean, as soon as like Robert Downey Jr. turned like 50, whatever the hell he is, they basically just accept that.
Anyway, Doctor Who is not an unpopular or underappreciated thing. It is, in fact, has a far bigger fan base than anyone could have imagined.
Well, I think because people are falling in love with British men, which is why it's going to be interesting to see how it transitions.
Them damn British men stealing our women and taking our jobs.
Yeah, they stole enough property on the world and then lost it in the American Revolution.
They're stealing our women.
I just said that, and taking our jobs.
Yes.
They lost enough property when they were in the American Revolution. What? Deja vu?
Yeah.
They took Superman, they took Batman, they took,
No, we have Batman back, though.
Yeah, we have Batman. Spider-Man, yeah.
Thanks
took.
To Boston.
Boston. Boston's finest.
Anyhow.
Don't kill yourself. I'm just gonna stop it right there. Just don't.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, Stan, your turn.
My second choice was to kill Justin. It's a little underappreciated these days.
Yeah,
but
no one's actually pulled it off yet, so I would support that.
Exactly.
Et tu, jamais.
Anyhow.
My actual number two was, it's a game, Punch-Out for Wii. I felt like that was the sleeper hit of the entire console, actually.
Oh my gosh.
Dude, that was actually pretty cool.
That's actually one of my favorite games, and it was a sleeper hit of the console.
It's one of my favorite games as well. I love the art style, I love the music, I love the commercials.
Yeah, I love how extreme the stereotypes are. I don't mean that sarcastically. I do love how over the top they go with every nationality.
Yeah, everything about that game is just perfect, as far as I'm concerned. It's a great mix of interesting genres and gameplay, and it's got some nice art, it's got some nice characters, it's really vibrant, it does what it does well, whatever it is that it does. I still don't know what genre I would put it as.
I put it as a puzzle game.
Yeah,
that's probably what I would get. Like, I've played the Super Nintendo one, and I've been meaning to try the Wii one out.
The Wii one is just fantastic, and that is my choice.
Dunt, da-da-dunt. Dunt,
dunt.
Da-da-da. Dun 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 dun. And also a super secret. Well, not a super secret, but you also get to fight Donkey Kong at some point. So it's on a Donkey Kong.
Yeah. And there's a lot of content on that game too, actually.
Yeah. It does a great job of updating the arcade, because I mean the first third of the game is basically an updated version of the arcade game, and then it really kind of throws you for a loop. It's packed full of content, and if you really want to be experimental, it has a lot of interesting control schemes. I believe you can use the balance board for it as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I really wish they would do a sequel to that, or like a Wii U version. I feel like that's got a lot of potential. Like, it was a solid game for what it is.
I am of two minds of that. Because I would love a sequel, but I feel like Next Level Games has gone beyond that. It's the same thing with Mario Strikers, where I would love a sequel. But I feel like I want so much more from Next Level Games at this point after Luigi's Mansion 2.
That might be true. I think at the same time I was going to mention, actually, and I hadn't really thought of this at this point, but something like retro games taking over and doing like something different with Punch-Out.
No. I do not. I mean, I would be okay with that, but based on the reactions for Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze when Retro was announced to do that, I would hate to see the reactions if they announced it.
It does seem like people are frustrated with Nintendo having all their cool, like, secondary studios just working on updates of already existing stuff.
But that's not even a problem, though, because nobody would have had an issue with it if they had done Metroid Prime 4.
Yeah,
that's true. Everyone's just like, Donkey Kong. Because Donkey Kong was never, like, a massive beloved.
It's a fantastic game, though.
I also am not a big fan of the Donkey Kong-style physics, so I didn't get into it that much.
Well, the first game
it is clearly a good game.
First game, as again, one of my personal favorites, like, of all time. It's a masterpiece.
Tropical Freeze, as of right now, as of August 22nd, is still my game of the year. And I think it's much better than the original, which I held in high regard.
No, I actually think the original's better, but that's interesting. We'll talk about that after.
Yeah. Which I guess brings us back to round three, which we'll start with Justin.
Okay. Hey, guys, do you like anime?
No.
Sometimes.
We gotta do this intro right. Do you like anime? Well, if you do, then you should probably take a trip to Glorious Japan.
Justin's recommending the continent of Japan.
Just answer the fucking question. Do you like anime?
Yeah. I'll do you one better. I'll answer this question. Do you like Justin? No.
Are you going to suggest Attack the Titan?
I know what you're going to recommend. Red, white,
Attack
blue,
the
yellow.
Titan is well known and popular, and I don't like it that much
shut
already.
Shut the hell up. Do you like anime? Do you like fluid action and great music? Red, or, white, I guess, black, not great, but decent music.
Red, white, black, yellow. Red, white, black, yellow.
No, it's not Ruby. Damn.
Are you going to announce Korra?
Oh, I'm going to recommend DMC Devil May Cry.
What?
I'm going to recommend DMC Devil May Cry. The
video
game. No, I'm screwing with you.
One.
No, I'm screwing with you. Yeah, it's totally okay. Ruby. Which actually did a great music.
In other news, no one likes Justin. Moving on.
I like Justin.
It had a quote unquote like rough first season, but I think it's really improved since then. A lot of people should watch it.
Hasn't it only had one season?
It's in its second season right now. So I feel like if you're not a fan of like normal anime with like, you know, giant 12-year-olds or 12-year-olds like giant tits and other anime things.
Then this show still has it.
I am not a pedophile. That is correct.
I feel like this is, like, a good alternative. And, you know, you can actually, like, tell what's going on. It's not tedious as fuck. And it doesn't have, like, filler episodes.
Because there's only, like, 5 minutes per episode.
Daniel, shut the fuck up.
I'm just trying to make your day terrible.
I know you are.
Well, I'm looking at Kill Bill cosplay because he mentioned a show with Lucy Liu in it.
Because you're a dick.
Yeah.
Damn.
Hey, no, Kill Bill is awesome.
No, not you. But, yeah, I think you should watch Ruby because it's really awesome.
That will bring us back to me, I guess.
Fuck you, Dan. God.
Yeah, that's right. My plan's working.
to have sex with you? What?
No.
What?
Where did you get that from?
You guys said F you, Dan. So you said your plan's working. So he's using that as a... I don't need to explain this, but...
No, I know you don't need to explain this, but, Justin, that was a bad joke, and you should hurt yourself because of
I mean, like, you're a nice-looking guy, but I think you're also involved in...
This got
right
weird,
now.
Earl. Let's keep it along.
And I don't think that you should, like, be cheating on whoever it is that you're with. I feel like they would take that as a sign of betrayal.
This is weird, Earl. Let's steer it back to...
I am trying to figure out what I am... going to suggest. I have
just pick something. Jesus balls.
Okay,
how about just tell us about how much you love Boogie Nights. Just kidding, everyone loves Boogie Nights.
What the hell is Boogie Nights?
Anyhow, I'm actually going to recommend a book.
Ant-Man.
What?
Ant-Man's a character, Justin.
He was in a book.
Yes, and the only Ant-Man you need to read is the Irredeemable Ant-Man.
No one fucking cares about Ant-Man.
I actually like the Irredeemable Ant-Man just because he was a giant asshole.
He's redeemable.
Again, no one cares about
Anyhow, that is neither here nor there. I was actually going to recommend the Night Angel trilogy, which is a...
The what trilogy?
Night Angel. It is a fantasy series written by Brett Weeks, and it's kind of... It's like a fantasy Assassin's Creed in a way. It's kind of in a distant past, and there's a chosen one who is like, there's a guild of like assassins who have like magical powers and stuff like that, and there's like a corrupt government. So there's a lot of twists and turns along the ways, and like he falls in love with a princess and stuff like that. A lot of it is kind of hokey and very cliche, but it's actually a really fun read. I read the first three books. Well, I guess three books. It's a trilogy. I read them in like a week. It was really engaging, and I found it really interesting. It's kind of like a video game in book form because, like, again, they have like magical powers. So you have like different classes of, different classes of magi and assassins, and then you have the main character who's kind of like that guy who can learn a little bit of everything, and you kind of see him evolve over the course of. Cause I believe he starts off like a riffraff, and then he learns about his abilities. And then it evolves in, like, the second book, and then he needs an army in the third and stuff like that. It's really fun. It's really worth checking out. Like I said, if you're a fan of Assassin's Creed, if you're a fan of kind of fantasy, it's a really fun read. And I think I said fun, like, 50 times in that sentence. But
that's because it's just so fun-filled.
It's so fun.
What's it called again?
It's three books. They're collectively called the Night Angel Trilogy. I believe individually it's the Way of Shadows, Shadow's Edge, and Beyond the Shadows.
Why isn't it called the Shadow Trilogy?
Yeah, you would think that would make sense.
I'm glad you said it, because...
I was thinking the same
thing.
Oh,
the Night Angel trilogy. See, I searched Night Andrew trilogy, and that wasn't getting me anything.
That just sounds really mediocre.
The Night Andrew. The Night Andrew trilogy.
Night. Like the night guard at Walmart.
Like this. he eats a donut. Be like, this is my sugar.
Now I want to read the Night Andrew trilogy.
I just want there to be like a Christopher Nolan style trilogy, like, you know, like this dark foreboding music, and like the camera pans like to show this dude just like eating a donut. He's got like the thickest mustache, and his pants like hanging, and his pants like starting to hang around his waist. Be like, hey, you stop there. The Night Andrew trilogy.
Where's Rachel?
Dan.
Where's Rachel?
That was weird, and not an accent that was dark and broody, but Western instead.
It's Boston.
That was not Boston, but try again.
Or rather,
Dan.
Don't. Boston.
Dan.
Okay. My next choice is kind of interesting. So it's a game, another game. My choice for this one was the original Fire Emblem games, and by that I mean anything pre-Awakening, because Fire Emblem Awakening, like, brought the whole series into, like, full view, and I feel like there's a lot better Fire Emblem games than Awakening.
Are you saying you didn't like Awakening?
No, I loved Awakening. I'm saying the other games do other things better and more interestingly, and they won't get enough love because they're not the same thing as Awakening. So, Fire Emblem Awakening just came out last February, 2013, and it's, like, super-duper amazingly popular, like, overwhelmingly so. And that's cool and all. I mean, there's 4 Fire Emblem characters in the new Smash Bros. Game, so obviously it did something right. But,
I planned on getting it.
Like, I don't know. It's a great game, but the other games are good, too, and I feel like people won't touch them because Fire Emblem Awakening does this very, like, anime-ish thing where they have you can, like, marry your squad mates and stuff, and you can have all these support combos with it, and it's like, whatever, it's fun. But the other games are fun too.
I would also kind of point out one of the biggest hurdles with that is a lot of those are really hard to find because, as you mentioned, they weren't popular, so they didn't sell as well.
Yeah.
So finding like used copies of like the GameCube or Wii games go for like $80-$90.
Yeah.
If you have an ambassador program, I believe Sacred Stones was one of the ambassador games,
which is Fire Emblem 8, which is arguably one of the weakest ones lately.
Yeah. I played some of the first GBA one, like 2/3 of it, and I did like it quite a bit. It just became sort of, like, I'm personally not very good at strategy games, so it just became sort of overwhelming after a certain point, but it is definitely great.
Yeah, so that was it was an interesting choice because it's a popular series, but only because of the recent games, which is why I said all the games before the most recent ones.
So what, if I remember correctly, the ones in the U.S., there were 2 on the GBA, there was 1 on the GameCube, 1 on the Wii, and then 2 on the DS, and, like, one of them was a remake of the original?
1 on the DS. So, Fire Emblem Awakening is the 14th. Fire Emblem 7 was the one just titled Fire Emblem for GBA. Fire Emblem Sacred Stones was 8, which is the one that's an ambassador title, also on the GBA. Then there's Fire Emblem 9, which is Path of Radiance, which everybody knows because Ike's in it and he fights for his friends. And then Fire Emblem 10 was Radiant Dawn, which was a sequel to Path of Radiance, but was really kind of poorly received compared to the other ones because it had a wonky difficulty curve. And then Fire Emblem 11, which was the DS one, is a remake of the original, which has Marth in it. Fire Emblem 12, which is another DS game, never came outside of Japan, but it was a sequel to Fire Emblem 2, which was a sequel to Fire Emblem 1, so it was basically the DS games were 1 and 2 remakes. And then Fire Emblem 13 is Awakening.
Yes.
If anyone followed that, thank you.
No, but you figured them out.
I followed it.
It also, I don't know when we're getting it, but I know it came out this week in Europe that I think Fire Emblem, just the first one, came out on the Wii U eShop in Europe. So we should be getting it soon. GBA Games do on the Wii U eShop. I would also kind of recommend, even though it's different, it's very similar, Advance War, which I believe the first one is on the Wii U eShop as
it
well.
It is, and it's both of them made by Intelligent Systems. So they're basically the same thing, except Fire Emblem has permadeath and unique characters, and Advance Wars has all the characters are basically renewable because you can buy them and stuff.
Yes, and they're also doing the very interesting codename Steam.
Yeah.
Show. There we go. Intelligent Systems, Nintendo's secret weapon.
For real, they make Paper Mario and WarioWare also.
Yeah. And a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, they're one of my favorite studios, actually. But anyway, moving on.
They make Pushmo and Crashmo.
Yeah.
Which I guess means we're back to James.
Yes. I actually have a television series now. Well, technically an anime. It's called Giant Robo. It was a original video animation series that ran through the 90s. It basically, if you don't know, original video animation is basically an anime. It's basically direct to video anime, but it oftentimes doesn't have to rely on traditional like scheduling systems or like episode length. So it's only 7 episodes long. Each one's about I think it's like 45 minutes or so. And basically, it's like near future. There's these like new energy systems. It's sort of this group called the Experts of Justice, which is one of the best names for an international police organization ever. And they're trying to basically defeat the Big Fire Society, who's trying to take over the world. And most of it is framed like this high drama sort of kind of martial arts adventure, but within a sci-fi world. Except then they also have this giant robot who has basically sort of the head of like ancient pharaoh masks. Yeah, it's really great. It's kind of hard to find because it's been out of print for a while, but it is very well worth tracking down if you're interested. And it actually took them about 6 years to make the whole thing.
Wait, what was the name of it again? Can you repeat the name? Sorry.
Giant Robo.
Giant Robo. I feel like I've heard of that.
Yeah, I think it was an adaptation of like several manga stories from that like property, and then they had like a series in the 60s. But this specific one is subtitled "The Day the Earth Stood Still."
Mm-hmm.
No connection to the 50s movie though. But yeah, it's very great, well worth checking out.
Interesting.
Justin.
Oh, it's my turn again.
No.
Yes, that's how it works.
Oh, sorry. Blah 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 blah. This one is another game, which did kind of alright, but I think suffered mostly due to its publisher going under, like, right as the game was about to come out.
Do you just hate good developers?
Wait, is it Kingdom of Amalur Reckoning?
No.
We're all gonna die!
I forgot to tell you, this is actually a crossover episode with Warriors of Virtue, which is a movie that involves kangaroos and someone falling through a water portal. From the director of Freddy vs. Jason. My recommendation is not Warriors of Virtue, if you're wondering.
What the hell was that?
I have no idea what happened, but I think it stopped happening, and I think it killed Dan.
It sounded like a toilet flushing. Was that what happened, James?
I will reveal none of my fully effect secrets.
James.
Yes. Yes.
The fuck, bro?
I really had to take a shit.
Are you on your phone right now?
No. I'm in my room.
Dude, what the fuck?
Anyhow.
Bro.
Rest in peace, Dan.
Bro.
Anyhow. Justin.
Bro.
Justin was about to tell us about Darksiders.
I was.
I knew it.
So, I guess James knows me better than anyone. Yeah, they're actually
both. We don't have been in anybody right now, so.
Yeah, that's true. But, no, they're both really fun games. I think mainly that was the thing. It's like, they basically came out, like, right as THQ was going under. And I'm sad that, like, in the immediate near future that we won't be getting anymore. Their current publisher has been kind of cryptic about whether or not we'll get, yeah, like, really vague and cryptic. I know that they're doing, like, a PC version, like a PC and Mac version for both of them, like, bundled together. But they haven't...
Who currently owns the property now?
Nordic Games.
Okay.
Who also owns Red Faction, which they said they probably weren't going to do a Red Faction Guerrilla 2 anytime soon, either.
I was about to say, didn't the studio also just close down?
I don't think so.
Well, no, well,
okay, okay, not... Well, yeah, Crytek, Austin got
converted to whatever Deep Silver's calling them, because they were working on, they were one of the people like working on Homefront: The Revolution.
Yeah, but I mean that was the former Vigil.
Oh, you're talking about the other studio. Yeah, that one got closed down, and then they basically like more or less formed a new studio, which whose name I can't remember right now. They said that they were going to focus on like something else first, like maybe like an established IP to like help themselves like get their foot on the ground, and then focus, you know, possibly go back to Darksiders.
Which means we'll never see it again.
Never know.
Well, it's a brand that didn't help a company on the way out.
In 15 years, it will be kickstarted.
God, if it was announced for Kickstarter, I would totally get on that. You can judge me all you want. I would fucking do that.
We already judge you all we want. I don't know what's so different.
Everyone in here judges everyone with 100% of their energy.
James, like we have like you know reason to judge you now.
Yeah, I know.
I just don't like Justin. But
I don't know what I did to make Dan not like me.
But I like this. See, you have to like dig through the wiki of the podcast in order to figure out when this started.
It makes me sad because I try to be friends with Dan and then like he just completely like spits in my face.
That usually means he loves you, though.
Anyhow,
no, it's not like the good spit.
But never mind.
Yeah, whoa, moving on from there.
Yeah, you think I can be judged.
James, you took a shit, dude.
I really need to go, okay? It was either that or just leave you guys, like, in silent for a moment, and then you get to my thing, and I'd be like, wait, I need to talk about this robot anime that only has one robot.
Well, then you should have done that instead of, like, letting us hear you, like, flush and wash your fucking hands. You disgusting fucking animal.
I have to keep it clean.
James, that was not clean.
If we talk any more about this, I'm going to die again. Oh, my God.
I'm clean now. My hands are, like, nice and smooth because I use soap.
That's why they're smooth.
Okay. I think it's my turn now. And I am going to recommend this little known anime, Dragon Ball Z. I don't
get
know if you
that. No, get the hell out.
I think that used to air with Sailor Moon, which was pretty popular. They tried to get it popular airing with Sailor Moon, but it didn't work.
The fuck is Sailor Moon? This doesn't ring a bell.
It's a pedophile bait. girls in barely existent skirts.
You could have just like ended it with pedophile bait, and I would have like drawn a map. Yeah,
drawn a map.
I mean, like just drawn a map, like you know, like a metaphorical map to what it was.
Uh huh. Anyhow, my actual one. I've said this before, and if you follow me on Twitter, I've probably sung this phrase often enough. But Alpha Protocol. And it's not. I don't necessarily.
Who was that? Just like a very sharp intake of breath.
That's
either
him breathing
because he hasn't played it and he still
like has knows his reputation, or he has played it and doesn't like it.
That was
the only possible answer.
That intake of breath was literally me just breathing.
Oh, I thought it was you being like, this motherfucker mentioned Alpha Protocol. I thought you were like genuinely upset. They're like irritated.
I was going to say that Alpha Protocol isn't necessarily an underrated game, but it is a very divisive game. There's a lot of people who hate the game.
Yeah, it's very.
I think underrated probably would be the best place, since yeah, most people can't stand it,
yeah,
or at least don't care about it.
It is serviceable and it had potential.
I think I've said this before, and I'll get back for it. I think it's a much better game in what it's trying to do than Mass Effect.
Having not played it, I know you are high. But it's okay to be high. See, I'm not saying he's wrong. It's just that he's high that has led him to this conclusion.
It's okay to be high.
Yes.
That's what I took away from that. That's what you can name the episode. It's okay to be high.
I'm just saying, I think it does. It has a much better morality choice system than Mass Effect. It's done a lot better. I like how it clearly out what your decisions meant and what it affected while you're playing the game, instead of trying to guess or wait until a sequel in case to see if it does or does not pay off.
So it's more interested in having payoff of choices instead of actual good characters in story.
That's good characters, and that's one of the reasons why it's true.
That's debatable.
It has been. I've never shied away from this. I absolutely love the spy genre, and I think that just makes it a lot easier for me to enjoy. I've never been huge on sci-fi, So setting it up in a. Yes, I mean, what is the name of the show?
Yes, well, if you need a spy thing, you go pop in your copy of The Bourne Supremacy again, like the rest of us do.
I actually like The Bourne Conspiracy. I think that's a decent game, but...
I was talking about the second movie, which has that fucking amazing chase scene in Moscow.
I know what you're talking about. I'm just saying that I also enjoyed The Bourne movie. I mean, The Bourne video game.
Yeah, can I put the use of shaky cam in the second and third Bourne movie on my list of underrated things? Because whatever people talk about, it's like they have no idea what it's like, how it's actually working there.
Guys.
Yes?
Yes. Anyhow... Yeah, like I said, Alpha Protocol, it's not a perfect game. It does have issues, for sure.
It's not a perfect game. It's something people say always, like right before they're trying to defend something that they know isn't very good.
Wait, repeat it. It's not a perfect game, but...
First, to James' point, I honestly don't believe in a perfect product. I don't think anything's perfect.
I think there are about four
we're perfect.
Movies.
Huh?
We're perfect.
But
speak for yourself. I'm perfect. I don't know what that means.
Goldfinger Mint is perfect.
I
understand people's beef with it. I do understand that, but I do think
Planet Okay is perfect.
It does a lot more good than bad, and it's a very enjoyable game.
Yeah, it's like President Obama. A lot more good than bad.
Wow. Alpha Protocol. It's the President Obama video game. Interpret that however you will, based on your political leanings.
Wow.
That
was a good one, Dan.
I wonder if we can get that on the box art.
The Obama video game.
It's so good. It incredibly undersold and killed its own franchise potential in one game.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. You've had two games that killed the studio.
that was extenuating circumstances outside of
the
control.
Nothing I like has ever killed the person that created them. Actually, no, I don't know what happened to the guy who made Giant Robo. What's he up to?
Jesse, you can't really complain because both of your games you suggested so far have one involved a lawsuit that is still ongoing.
Yeah, creator of Giant Robo is still going. Jackie Chan's still going. Michael Mann's still going. Just killed anyone.
Jackie Chan's still alive?
Yeah.
Alright, I gotta change that.
In defiance of God and nature, he is still alive to this day.
I like how you said, in defiance of God and nature.
Be dead!
Well, he's
but
not
he
like
is
some,
not.
Well, he's not like some old withering husk. He's still, 60?
Yeah, he's in his 60s, but considering how many times he's almost killed himself, he should be dead by now.
Okay, dude, I'm gonna tell you something that not a lot of people know. People in their 60s do, live past
60.
No, I'm not talking about his age. I'm just talking about how many times he tried to kill himself in movies and has survived.
I'm going to let you know a little bit of fact here. People in their 60s generally live past their 50s.
And they usually do it by not dropping themselves, several stories off a clock tower.
I mean, not with that attitude.
Exactly.
Anyhow,
that was
dead. Dead. It's your turn.
God, what a trip.
My next one on the list is Not Liking Justin.
I don't think that's underrated.
I'm pretty sure you've said that enough times. It's actually popular now.
God, I know, right?
What did I do to you?
The same way I would have called Blade Runner underrated.
Justin, you probably don't remember, but the day you were born,
hammering it out, and now everybody loves it.
God, no, seriously, did I do something, or are you just messing around and giving me shit?
You'll never know, which is the best part.
I think Earl was about to say he hasn't seen Blade Runner yet.
I haven't, but I wasn't going to say that.
Earl!
No shame.
I haven't seen Blade Runner. I haven't seen Blade Runner either.
Justin, tell us something we didn't know. Earl, you haven't seen Blade Runner?
to be fair, unlike other movies I haven't seen, I honestly just have no interest in seeing Blade Runner.
Interesting.
That's like most movies you tell me to see,
yeah.
I have no interest
in them. I'll shame you for not wanting to see it, but not for having not seen it.
Wait,
it did do poorly when it came out anyway, and even then I try to avoid shaming people for seeing things I love, because, I mean, there are dozens of things that I know people love that I haven't seen or watched or played or what have you.
Do you really avoid it?
And I just get envious when I hear someone hasn't seen, The Last Picture Show or Mulholland Drive or Princess Mononoke or something other like that.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of those.
Well, that's you.
Who's next?
My actual answer was, I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before too, it's another game. It's the game Awesome Knots by Ronimo Games. Have I mentioned it on this podcast before? I feel like I have.
I think you've mentioned it in like the multiplayer episode, actually.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Because it's a MOBA, but it's a platformer MOBA, so like a 2D.
Yeah, it's like a side-scrolling MOBA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's on 360, and I think PS something, maybe? I don't know. It's
probably on Steam as well.
It is on Steam. That's where I play it on. But yeah, it's a really fun game, and it's a MOBA, but it's really fast-paced. Like, the game's... It's rare to see a game last longer than 25 minutes, which is rare for a MOBA in general.
Yeah, it's rare for a MOBA to last as low as 25 minutes. Like,
yeah.
We had one game that we had that, but that was only because we had a really good opening lane phase.
Yeah, so it's like an interesting MOBA because of the genre that it is in being a MOBA, but like a platformy sort of MOBA, but also in just how quickly the games are. There's only squads of like two teams of three. There's only three lanes generally. I think some maps even really only have two. For the most part. But it's really cool. It's a lot of fun, and it's a smaller studio. They've made Sword and Sorcery, or not Sword and Sorcery, sorry, Sword and Soldiers.
Which is a 2D RTS, which is actually really fun as well.
Yeah. What else? I feel like they've made something.
Wait, so the people who made Sword and Soldiers?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. I love that game.
And they're making Part 2, which is out this year on the Wii U.
Yeah.
I think those are their two big games, and they're also all about spreading the wealth, because they did Sword and Soldiers on the Wii, and then I think they ported it to the PS3 and the Wii U, and then they did Awesome Knots, which I believe is on 360 and PS3, and then they're going back to the Wii U with Sword and Soldiers 2, and I think they have a third game in development, which I believe is for PS4 and Xbox One.
Yeah, so they're a really cool company. They're, I forget where exactly, but they're not on this continent. They are something.
Why don't you go work for them?
Why don't you go die?
They are Dutch.
Yeah, they're from the Netherlands.
I was being nice. I'm saying, why don't you go work for them?
They're cool guys.
That's where
though.
They go with that teenage cancer movie. They go to the Netherlands and they meet Willem Dafoe.
Wait, what?
Yeah, no, The Fault in Our Stars, they go to the Netherlands to meet Willem Dafoe.
Well.
No, I mean, you said teenage cancer movie, and I got really confused.
Yeah, The Fault in Our Stars is a movie about teenagers who have cancer. That is the premise of the movie.
Pretty sure it's just the one teenager who has cancer.
No, they both have cancer.
Oh, they
actually,
both have cancer?
Actually, there are a bunch of teenagers. Yeah.
Oh. Well, that's
everybody
sad.
Has cancer!
Woo!
No, Willem Dafoe doesn't have cancer.
Oh.
I mean, this is depressing. Moving on.
Okay, yes, so we are at the hour mark, and I'm trying to...
Are we?
Yes, I'm trying to.
Has everyone said the same kind of things now?
Wait, if we cut out James is taking a shit and Dan's subsequent death.
I was talking about the giant robo at that time, though. So, I guess
yes.
I flushed once I was done.
But yes, we have.
Dude, you took
it. Enough! But you continue to talk about Justin. Just move on.
That's not
Witcher's
cool.
Witcher's on your Blu-ray has an audio commentary.
Just move on. But yes, we've all said equal amount of stuff. We can go around real quick if you want to like read off one more or just read off the rest of your list really quickie before we begin to wrap.
Let's do that.
Okay, so we're gonna start with Justin.
God damn it!
All right, moving on.
Okay.
Justin recommends Eternal Damnation.
Shut up. Dragon Age 2, DMC Don't Make Cry, Captain Marvel Comics, and Ms. Marvel Comics, and the Halo novel, specifically Fall of Reach and Ghost of Onyx.
That was a bad list. You should hate yourself.
Dan.
I don't really have anything worth talking about.
Okay.
Just like you.
James.
That was a bad attempt at humor.
Spike Jonze's Where the Wild Things Are movie. Happy Go Lucky, Spec Ops The Line, To the Moon.
Oh, yes! Spec Ops is amazing.
It's not really underappreciated. It's pretty appreciated.
Okay, it's just more that it didn't do very well when it came out. And Brothers: The Tale of Two Sons.
I was going to say Brothers isn't underrated either.
Yeah.
But I think Spec Ops is different because it was also given out for free on PlayStation Plus, so a lot of people have had access. That's all I got to say.
I mean, Brothers was also free.
Yeah, I don't think Brothers is necessarily underrated. I have, just to finish off my list, I had Moon, which is a really good...
That is a great movie, yeah.
And I had Scooby-Doo Mystery Inc., which...
I watched a few episodes of that. It's not bad.
Yeah,
like the Gator Farmer.
Yeah, it's probably the most interesting and meta, but unmeta version of Scooby-Doo today.
It's got the most mythology of any Scooby-Doo thing.
Yeah. It's the one that counts as a competent TV show.
Yeah, which after being around for 70 years.
God, they finally did it. They figured eventually we're going to make something good out of this.
We made 12 shows. One of them has to be good, right?
Yeah. I think they actually have more than 12 shows.
Got it. They're only at, like, what, about 15?
I think the new one is going to be the 12th. I could be wrong.
They are doing a new one. Of course they are.
Yeah, doesn't have a weird art style. Isn't that what I've heard?
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
But, yeah, that should do it for us this week. We will be back next week. I want to say, and I'm not 100% sure because we're all terrible at getting ahead, but I want to
say... The four of us.
But I do want to say, I believe next week I want to do a summer movie recap or a summer movie kind of...
Yeah!
Because there's really nothing... I mean, I didn't want to do it this week just because I wanted to hold off in case anything came out of Sin City, A Dame to Kill.
Yeah.
Is anyone seeing Sin City, A Dame to Kill?
Nope.
I don't think anybody...
Other than 14-year-olds sneaking into the theater to see Eva Green naked.
I don't think anybody
did. I may give it a shot.
I believe that's the official end of the summer.
Yeah, because the only things I'm seeing on the calendar are Birdman, which I think it might be its festival release date, and the Box Trolls, but I'm pretty sure... I know that's its festival date. Like, it doesn't come out in theaters until September.
I think the November Man, but I don't really see that as a summer. Even though it's out at the end of August, I don't.
Does anyone even see that as a good movie?
I don't, but
no idea.
I have tickets for a screening.
Why?
Because it's free.
Okay.
I'm a huge fan of Pierce Brosnan. I always thought he was a good James Bond. They got that bad scripts.
Dude, yeah. Die Another Day.
He got one amazing Bond movie, and then. Two not-so-good ones, and then one contender for the worst.
Yeah.
It's not enough. It's not that terrible.
Die Another Day is not a good movie.
We were talking about the World's Not Enough? Which one are we talking about?
I think everybody's talking about Die Another Day. I just don't... At first, I don't care for The World Is Not Enough.
Oh, that's actually one of my favorites.
I find it so...
Wow. You were the first person to say that. Please tell me you're also going to say you don't hate Moonraker. Please tell me you're going to say that, too.
He's not going to say that.
Everybody I don't remember enough of Moonraker. I'd have to watch it again.
Don't watch it.
Not bad. I like it better than Skyfall, actually, but that's a complicated story for another day.
Wow.
Anyhow,
we're going to go hang James right now.
No, I want to kill Justin.
Okay. We'll be back next week with two people. It's just going to be me and Dan, apparently.
Yes.
So, Moonraker.
James, Justin, and myself. This
I don't need love.
Whatever.
make it complete, just like the moon raker knows.